Joan doesn't give a damn.
That might have to pass over Shoot the Thrill. That should be the new...
It's a great song.
I know, just a great opening, too. Yeah. It sounds like the Dalgan switch. Good stuff.
Yeah, Joan Jett. We love her. Time for Puck Off, guys. We are Andy Beccaro, Joe Bartnick, and Fraser Smith. We're here in the studios, All Things Comedy, Burbank, California. And we're kind of tail end of the summer programming.
We're getting near season previews.
Yep, almost. Almost.
Look at you itchy with that Detroit Red Wings.
Come on.
Excitement.
Man. Let's get it going. Let's go.
Do they crack the top four?
Yeah, well, you know, we're hoping.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
It's getting there. Andy, what are you up to?
I was just about to say rookie tournaments start in like 2 weeks. So, you know, when they do those, you know, they'll all go to Toronto. And then I think Detroit actually hosts one usually every year. So there will be NHL jerseys colliding with each other now in you know, under a month.
Well, all the pre-rookie camps, all the, hey, you're not guaranteed a spot on the team guys. Every city had those a couple weeks ago. And the big one, Zahorna, reverse jump. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
You know how, like, you know how, whatever they call box jump, you're standing and you jump. He reverse jumped like 5 feet. It was pretty crazy. I'm like, I was going to say, yeah, now land on Evan Rodriguez and smash him like a bug.
He's not even there.
He's not, Phil Kadri, still not available.
Yeah, isn't that something? You know, the Wings draft pick, Mazar, is playing well in the junior tournament.
That's what you were saying. I didn't know that Mason Marchment was in there. I want to see that now.
McTavish.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mason.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Ducks kid.
The Ducks kid.
Yeah.
I thought he was Mason March. Wasn't he Mason Marchment's kid also plays in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. McTavish is the kid, though, I was thinking of. I got the names messed up.
He's the big centerman from the
CHL. They came from Ottawa to Florida to the Ducks.
Yeah. I think, well...
Ottawa, Toronto to Florida.
I'm not sure what his trade line was, but I know he's only in. You know,
oh no, that
20.
Guy. I'm sorry, that guy signed as a free agent with that guy. I'm getting Marchment and McTavish messed
up. Yeah, two different. Yeah,
because Marchment is the guy that went Toronto to Florida, signed as a free agent, 4-year deal in Dallas. McTavish is the big train. In Anaheim.
Yeah, young centerman.
Now that we get that squared away, thank God it's the summer.
Yeah.
And then Rick McLeish played in the 70s for Philly. Yeah, no, it's confusing when the guys' kids enter the league, you know what I mean? Because Kapanen, I'm always like, well, which one? Because people will bring up a Kapanen. I'm like, do you mean the original? You mean Sammy Kapanen? You mean Kasperi? Like, it's weird. It makes me kind of feel older, the fact that the guys, you know, who I watch, they're kids are now vets.
The
Tkachuk
Think
brothers,
how I feel.
The Tkachuk brothers make $17 million when you put them together, and it's just crazy how it doesn't feel like their dad. It doesn't feel like that long ago that Keith was.
It doesn't.
Playing
doesn't.
Games.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
Chris Bourque just got his number retired as a Hershey Bear. I remember when Chris. I remember when Ray Bourque was a rookie.
Wow. Yeah.
When he wore number 7 and he had to take it off for the Espo night and stuff.
Yeah. And now everyone in the league gave Mr. Bourque, younger Bourque Jr., a tryout. He was on every roster for 10 minutes, and everyone's like, yeah, you're just not your dad. He came to the Penguins like 10 times. Mary was like, give him a job. He's got to be on the team. Come on.
Like he was a real journeyman. He was like Bruce Boudreau, where he had like over 500 games in the AHL, I think.
He got his number retired in the AHL. Yeah, he was a total AAA and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, hey, if you don't mind the bus, it's not a bad way to make a living.
Yeah.
It's like me in comedy.
Everyone's just... Yeah, I'm in the ECHL still.
Hey, here's some good news for all you Vegas haters. Robin Leonard, hip out indefinitely. Instant karma is going to get you, babe.
Ah.
Knock you upside the head.
Yeah. Oh. Well. Yeah, Vegas.
Yeah. Who's your goaltender now?
Yeah.
That Logan Thompson kid. Yeah.
It's not even Malcolm Subban.
None of us liked how that was handled with the flower.
No.
And so.
The league loves it. I mean, yeah, we're not go. The only people happy about
no,
this.
No, you're right.
I'm not, I don't mean this man's injured. I don't want him injured.
No, but, you don't want to say that, but yeah.
Yeah, but to have them have goaltending issues is very nice.
That's more what you're saying.
Yeah. And I hope that this is not the episode Brad Garrett's listening to. Brad, I love your seats.
We didn't try
those seats. I'll play. I could have played net. Those yeah. seats were so well, good. I was playing net.
You were almost on the ice.
My fist was trying to be on the ice when Giroux skated by.
I think it's you know, if Eichel doesn't absolutely live up to everything, not only will they not be any good, but it'll start to be tough for the first time ever there to convince people while they're on vacation in Vegas. Drop an extra 400 with us while you're in town. Now, I know that you have a lot of local support, but there's still inherently a lot of people not from town going to those games.
But I think that's inherently even better. Hey, do you want to go see Vegas smoke your Buffalo Sabres? Or no, hey, it looks like an easy win on the schedule for the Buffalo Sabres. Let's go when we're in Vegas. Let's go see them win.
Well, that might be an incentive, yeah.
And a lot of teams that, you know, could use an easy win, a nice victory, 2 points on the... You go bet him in the casino, you walk over, you pick up, you watch your 2 points, and you watch your victory. I think yeah. if they're a juggernaut, I think, and it's harder to get tickets, I think it's worse for out-of-town fans.
It's probably better for the franchise, though, in the NHL,
oh,
the
sure.
more things cost.
But I don't care about that franchise.
Well, that yeah. We did care about yeah, it, but the management did it to themselves.
How much they, I mean, you know, between this and the Johnny T., This is year-round programming. But, I mean, they could still have Gallant.
Tuck.
Tuck, Fleury.
Yeah.
Yeah, have Gallant and Fleury. They wouldn't be this mess at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they kept Carlson and Marchessault, the only guys that kind of have fallen off.
And Riley Smith.
Against them. I actually think Riley Smith is still himself more than Marchessault and Carlson are.
But, I mean, the Flower thing went beyond his playing ability. It went to the fact that he was a fan favorite, and they didn't need, they told every jersey you see when you go to Vegas has his still.
Well, the funny thing is besides if he was a fan favorite, he was the Vezina winner.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Well, like, now I could see someone being like, you know what, we're going a little younger. He's not quite Hall of Fame Flower right now, although... They didn't do that in Minnesota, but you know what I mean? You could almost, you could make a case.
But back then.
You can't ship out the, and it's not like they got, if they would have got Eichel for him, that would have made more sense than
well,
to get
yeah,
nothing
yeah,
for him.
Yep, yep, that's right.
Well, essentially
right.
the room kind of came from, they had to get his $7 million off the books to do anything they wanted to do going forward. They were way over cap last summer. But I think no one thought getting rid of Flower was the answer to getting under cap. you know, that was their answer, and we're seeing how it worked out now. Now, they have this kid, I think his name's Logan Thompson. I saw him playing a couple games last year. I saw Vegas a couple times.
Yeah, he was okay.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, he's supposed to be your second option on the second night of back-to-backs. He's not supposed to be the guy in there for when, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl are whipping down.
Well, you don't help your salary cap by getting rid of your best player.
Now, do you think their fan base keeps coming out?
Yeah, it's fun. Who doesn't love hockey?
It was fun.
Who doesn't love hockey? I mean, once you're, I mean, you know how many bad Penguin games we've seen in person?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on.
Still a fun night out.
Yeah. I mean, if you love hockey, you love hockey, you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if it even matters there, because as Joe was saying, if they're bad, maybe the out-of-town people want to go more. I just think that Vegas had, like, this golden chance, the Golden Knights of this chance, to kind of really grab the city. They beat the Raiders there. You know, that awful event that happened. The
and they came right on
and,
the heels of that.
And England came out and gave that speech. He's a Vegas kid. For like 2.5 they made the finals for like 2.5 years.
They were the darlings.
They were, everyone liked them. Yeah. And because of the way that management's acted, more than anything the team has done, unless you're the San Jose Sharks, why do you hate Vegas if you're a player? So it's like, it's more just the way the team's been in the public. I really just can't believe they fumbled being the darlings of that city.
But that's they still are, though. I mean, now they're just an actual sports team with their foyboys. The foyboys, whatever that would be.
Foibles.
Foibles, yeah. I mean, you know, now they're your team. So either you're a fair weather fan and you're not really a hockey fan and you went for the event and you went because your ex-stripper girlfriend wanted to go, or you're one of the million people to live there and you're a hockey fan and
he's keeping his seats
and that's your team.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, they're there. They're not going anywhere.
No, they're for sure not going anywhere.
But I mean, like that's the team. I think they're good. I think they're going to have a good The main thing is they should have never went after Pietrangelo. That was their sin. They didn't. Is he a great defenseman? Yes, but they didn't need him. And they messed up their salary cap.
Yeah.
And they've been fighting it ever since.
Yeah, I mean, that was the beginning of it. And remember that defense that made it there was kind of, you know, just deep. You know, and I think instead of, if we're seeing that a lot of deep defenses get to the finals and win championships more than we have two guys that make 7-8.
Do you think
it's gotta be depth?
Do you think Eichel rebounds?
I think he played pretty well.
He did play well, but it was hard to tell. Really, he wasn't there that long.
Yeah, he was basically a point-per-game player. My only issue with how Eichel played in Vegas last year was that the games that really mattered down the stretch, he kept blanking. But he's still, you know,
that's Jack Eichel. we're gonna get to him in like 3 minutes. Just a couple more news and notes. I guess the KHL isn't as scary as it used to be, or I don't know, or they're not worried about the war. But Cedric Paquette, a man with Stanley Cup rings. Johan Larsson, a guy that a lot of people were after. I don't know. Did Kasper Kapanen take his $3 million? I mean, or did, how is he not in the NHL, Johan Larsson? Or he just likes, you know, Hungarian food. And Uncle Leo Komarov, KHL bound.
I get it if you're from there. If you're from, like, say you're Belarusian or you're Russian, things are so weird right now. You're not Ovechkin, so you're not making $10 million a year. So it's like, you're probably going to make roughly the same money, and you're going to be where your aunts, uncles, and babushkas and everybody that you know is hanging out. Like, if I was from America and stuff was getting weird over here, but I was playing, like, European soccer or whatever, I'd come play in Columbus for a year or two until stuff stopped being weird, especially if I was older like Komarov.
Well, Paquette is North American.
He's the only one of
That's the one that shocked me. There's three different levels here. Paquette's a North American. That's kind of weird. Johan Larsson is a good player. That's kind of, the only one I really kind of understand is Uncle Leo. But Uncle Leo could get like a color job with the guy. Everyone loves Uncle Leo.
Yeah.
He must enjoy his family back in KHL and safe travels. But those are three guys I'd like to see in the. I want to have every good player here. Uncle Leo's going to come back in the playoffs, I bet.
And you guys were saying last week KHL level is far below NHL or just a little below?
I mean, I heard somebody say, I wish I could give him credit.
You used to have the package.
Yeah. But you can't tell because they play each other. Was it AHL is more comparable to KHL?
Uh-huh.
So, like, if you were to put an AHL team versus a KHL team every night, those scores would be close. If you were to bring them and play them against an NHL team, the NHL team's going to win 8 out of 10 games. You know, they're going to win pretty handily. Okay.
Well, yeah. They basically are an 8. They're all AHL teams.
Yeah.
Because every one of those guys, if they could play in the NHL except for Johan Larsson,
would be in the AHL. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be over here in this system. Yeah, for the most part.
It's all like the whatever. How many were there? 500 players in the NHL? I don't know.
There's something like that. Six or seven.
So there's the 561st best player is in the KHL or the AHL, one of the two.
Yeah.
Because if they were the 549th, they'd be in the NHL, except for Johan Larsson. One more. Derek Stepan, pro tryout, the Carolina Hurricanes. You wonder why he picked them.
Huh.
I don't know.
He likes the golf. I don't know. I mean,
kind of need a center, and it's, you know, tax friendly state.
I think it's a nice place to raise a family, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be easier teams he can make. I mean, he can make the Coyotes, he can make the Ducks.
I think he's going to make it, though. I think this is one of those formality type things. Like, they're bringing him in, they're figuring out how much they're going to pay him.
Speaking of formalities, but no one's bit, Brian Boyle is still available.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all like him.
I thought he played really good last year.
Yeah.
I thought he had his moments. I think his foot speed isn't there. I think that
he shouldn't have played 82 games.
He's getting a little slower, yeah.
I think that on a good team, he's really not playing at all. But it's a little surprising for league minimum. No one picks him up to just have him sit there. And
team guy.
Yeah. But
maybe he doesn't want to do it, but
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere he wants to play too. Like he's played so long, I don't think he needs an extra $750,000. So it's like it's got to be somewhere he wants to go. He's played in a lot of cities already. He's bounced around. So
yeah,
I'd still like to have him.
Yeah, like that's a team that could use him.
Yeah, yeah. I like the way he plays.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know who could use him too is Toronto.
If I were him,
I'd. Even though I always say you might get a guy that's won a ring, at least he's gotten to the finals. At least he's won a playoff round.
And he's gritty.
He's a big guy. Yeah. He's just a good guy to have in the room.
Yeah. I agree. I like him.
He probably circled every team in the Northeast, every team off Route 95 in the Northeast in Toronto and Pittsburgh. He went, look, somewhere I've already worn their sweater or somewhere where the travel's easy and I'll come for, you know, there's probably some negotiation.
I'll be
going
shocked
on.
If he's not. He's really done. If he's not going to play, if he's not playing in September, I can't believe that he's not actually playing in September. To be honest, I can't believe he's not on the team. I mean, the Penguins are a playoff team, and he played like 82 games and was one of their better bottom six guys. And he dropped him a couple times.
I mean,
if you're looking for anything from 6 through 13, 14, he's right there.
No, for sure. I just think that...
And if you didn't have to play him 82 games, it'd be a lot better.
That's the big thing, is that I think that as the season went on... Remember, he started out of the gates like on... Look, he was going to score 20 goals. And then the season went on. I mean, because it's tough when you're older and you're logging more minutes than you thought you would.
He was on the number two penalty kill.
Yeah.
You don't do that to a 40-year-old guy battled cancer.
Blocking shots. Yeah. Blocking a lot of shots. Yeah.
A lot of shots.
Tough guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I don't know. I'm pro Brian. We've been pro Brian.
Yeah, we've always loved him. Yeah.
Pre-Penguin days.
Love his style of play.
Yeah.
I'm Jersey, I'm like, come play with us and get our younger guys into it. That's where it would make, like, Jersey makes sense. Maybe DC makes sense to get No Terrible Tom for a while, just have a guy that can wrap people up. Boyle does not fight, but he will put everybody into an arm wrestling contest.
He's the old school guy though. Like, you know, he don't he's like a big old dog. He don't got to go all the time.
No,
people know he can hurt you, so no one wants to dance.
But he's great at crashing the net.
They don't have to. One's looking. Hey, I want to dance with Boyle. You know, because you never know.
He's great
at catch somebody. You know, he's been in a lot of fights, man.
There was a great.
He's great down low in front of the net.
I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's on the NHL Network. It's Rupper, Cam Jansen, whoever else was involved in that big line brawl.
Turner Stevenson.
Turner Stevenson. I'm blanking.
The guy that was the guy that won the cup in Bolig. The guy that won the cup in Chicago, not Bolig.
Prust. Prust was in it.
But he didn't win the cup in Chicago.
It was Prust first, Jansen.
He lined up.
Oh, Bolton?
No, not Bolton.
The defenseman that came forward.
He was from Chicago.
Yeah. Stu Bickle. Yeah.
Bickle.
They have this great thing where the six of them get together and do a podcast.
Oh, my God.
For like an hour.
Oh, that's cool.
And they talk about the whole thing and how it was set up. I'm not going to ruin one story from it. But one thing that they all brought up that they thought was so funny was Jansen and Rupp were laughing so hard at how big and strong Brian Boyle always was, but he couldn't fight. Like, we tried to get that guy to learn how to fight. He's like too nice a guy. He's like, he just couldn't do it, but he's so big and strong. But it's like kind of a must watch, off-season watch. Those six of them just kind of BSing for an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, you know, if they don't bite when they're puppies, they don't bite when they're big. All right, here's some real summer programming here. The NHL Network has graced us with two big lists, and at the end, we're going to do a little game show here with Frisch. It'd be fun. So, you want to do the top 16 centers right now, or the top 16 players, not including goalies, right now?
I say players.
Okay, I agree with that.
Okay, so see, I actually think the centers won, but we'll do it's a democracy here. We'll do top 16 players first. So, number one, of course, Jesus. Number two, Austin Matthews. I already have a problem.
Well, okay. Really? Yeah.
Okay. If you're starting a team, you take... No one loves the American, great American hero. No one loves Matthews more than me. Literally, no one in America, except maybe Pavone, loves Matthews more than me. You would take him over Cale Makar to start a hockey team?
I'd want to think about it for a while. Like, I don't, for me to have a problem, you'd have to be like two spots off. That's kind of the way I was looking at it. It was like, that's, you, if you take the top, I'll even say five, I might think you're wrong, but you arguably have an argument. You know what I mean? When you look at,
oh, I think Austin Matthews is a good third. I just don't see how you, I'm just going this by who you would pick on it to start.
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously pick McDavid first.
Yeah,
I mean, he's gone.
You have to. You have to.
I mean, one of these two are definitely two, and that's why, like, in my head, it kind of just frazzles out. I'm okay with this, but I'd also be okay with it being McCarr.
And I'm not even tweaking all the listeners that get on me because you just love Cal McCarr. He's like, yeah, I do. I love Cal McCarr. But Austin Matthews third. Here you go. And then Big Mac four. Leon Draisaitl five.
I don't even see McCarr on here.
Top 16?
Oh, well, oh, okay.
You're looking at the center list, maybe?
Oh, center. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought we were doing that.
No problem. Okay. Leon, number five, best player right now, Brad Marchand. Okay. Cooch, the bread man, Ovi. That's your top eight. Nine, Adam Fox. 10, Sidney Crosby is only the 10th best player in the NHL right now. So 10 GMs, 9 GMs would pick 9 guys before Sidney Crosby to play a hockey game.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Is this just one game this year, or is this like, am I starting a team? I think age has been held against them.
I did not see the context of this.
Because I think age is being held against Sid, maybe even Hedman.
Well, let me get this. So Sid, Hedman, Barkov, Hubie Doobie Doo, Mikko Rantanen, and the Pasta Man, David Pasternak. Those are your top 16. Now, I love the Rat. I think the Rat should be in the Hall of Fame. You can't tell me you'd rather have him than Sidney Crosby on your hockey team.
No, it's too far up for him. And I like him, too.
Love the Rat.
Yeah.
I think the Rat is in the top 16, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know. And again, I'm not taking a shot at the Rat. But I think he's sticking out here because I think I put Point in the top 16 overall player.
Oh, yeah.
Before I put Rat.
Well, that's the crime we're going to get to when we do top 16 centers.
That
is next on the. You wanted to do the top 16 players, so here we are.
Well, I'm just saying,
everyone can skip ahead 10 minutes in the episode and get to the Point debate.
And he's talking about ageism, too. And, you know, you don't have Kopitar on this list. You don't have Stammer. You don't have. Some of the guys.
What is the top 16 all around
players?
Oh, all around. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said. They're all around.
I, that's my only issue, and I'm fine with giving Sid a little bit of an age penalty here because I feel like they did it to Ovi too. Because I think it in his prime, if these guys were in their prime, the only guy that's arguable to take over Sid or Ovi is McDavid, Matthews, McCarr. Everyone else, I don't think it's arguable to overtake in the best player they could be.
Yes.
But I do think that. Rat's the only one. I would take off Rat and I put on Point, and I'm kind of okay with this thing in general. As long as he, you know, this Point.
You don't want to move Ovi up?
I think Ovi's appropriately placed. I think Sid is a little bit further buried. But, you know, I really think it's a great list. Rat's, I agree with you, he's a Hall of Famer. I just don't think he's a top 16 player in the league anymore.
I've been a Leon guy forever. I liked him in the playoffs over McDavid 3 years ago. I don't know how he's ahead of Kucherov.
I think lack of games played recently hurts Kuch in this.
I don't know how he's ahead of Ovi, except the center position, which I for 10 years has banged it being more important. I guess that's where that's at. But Kuch, man, when Kuch wants to play. When Cooch
pretty impressive,
yeah. But, you know, Leon, look at Leon playing on one leg. So I'm not going to knock
Leon. I think a year ago.
But I think Leon, I don't know, man. Brad, you know, Cooch. I think the Breadman might be a little high.
I agree.
Have him over Sid or Hedman in anything.
Kreider?
He may be, last year he's an argument for the list, but I just think that there's too many. It's kind of crazy when you get all the way to have a
How
guy.
How is Adam Fox ahead of Sidney Crosby? That's a joke. How's he ahead of Victor Hedman? Hey, I'll take Sid out of it. How's he ahead of Victor Hedman? No one on earth would take him over Victor Hedman.
No. I mean, but the only
Andy
way they might. Would.
Andy loves Fox.
The only way they would is if this is a little bit of a, you know, there's of like again, the younger you are, the maybe the more attractive you are to take and start a team with, if that's the way they're looking at it. It's because I think that they kind of are looking at it that way.
I personally think Barkov and Hubie are a little overrated. What have you done for me? Nothing. Mikko. I put Mikko ahead of those two guys. And Pasta's Pasta.
I put Mikko over Hubie, but not Barkov. And again, that's my center bias.
It's a good bias to have, though. I've been using that bias for 10 years. I'm just backing away from it now.
You have to. I mean, besides Howe and Ovechkin, they're the outliers of greatest players of all time that weren't centers.
Now,
and defensemen.
Going back to the top, you guys were saying Austin Matthews, what, Makar leaps him?
Well, they have Matthews 2, Makar 3.
Would you reverse that?
I would have to take Cale Makar over. If you're asking me to now you think about your center, but I don't know. I mean, Cale Makar is just sick.
He's pretty, yeah.
I mean, there's been a few Austin Matthews.
That's a tough.
There's not, I mean, there's like, if you go down the list, okay, can Big Mac, he can play Leon, okay, Cooch, okay, you know, Sid, okay. There's only one I don't see any Cale Makars on here.
That's a tight one, though. That could, yeah.
Yeah, I think with how good the top 5-6 players are, that if you, from McDavid to Cooch, you're going to have a good team. But yeah, I don't know, now I'm thinking Makar could be first.
I'm thinking
I either take him first or third. I don't know.
And I think Rat is too high on this list, and I love Rat.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of his.
Everyone loves it.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, he's too high on that list.
And if you're here to win one game, I think you pick Rat third.
I think it's a different list. I think it's Kopitar's on it, like Frazier said. I think if it's to win one game, it's a different. I think you put Bergeron on it if it's to win one game. You just want one guy.
If it's to win one game,
yeah.
If it's to win one game, I think I think you go. That should be summer programming next. One game. Yeah. I'd pick Sid, and then Makar.
Well, that's true. Sid,
and then the Rat. That'd be my top three to win. To win. Oh yeah. Patty? How is Patty Kane?
Oh, he's
not on this list.
Not on the list.
The centers list, I have a list of the top 16 centers. I have a whole list of people who, where are they at? But, Patty. Yeah. How is Patty Kane not above Adam Fox?
Yeah, that's kind
of
right.
Come on now. You're right.
Come on now. How is DeBrincat not on this list?
Well, that too.
I mean, the Brinkett Pasta is pretty dead even, in my opinion.
Especially now, yeah.
But that's a big one. That's a big. How is Patrick Kane not on this list?
I agree.
All right, let's move over to the centers now. Your top, because I think there's real. I mean, there's debate in the other one a lot, but I think this is almost. There's some ludicrous things in the top 16 centers. Okay. Top 16 centers. Jesus. The great American hero, Austin Matthews. Nathan MacKinnon. Leon Draisaitl. Sid. I think top five is. I think that's
about right.
I love it.
I think that's the top five right there.
Yep.
Okay. Then you go Barkov, Stamkos, Patrice Bergeron, Sebastian Aho. Mika Zibanejad, Braden Point, JT Miller, Elias Lindholm. What? I know best line in the NHL. I don't know. Nazem Kadri, your Stanley Cup winner.
Yep.
Ryan O'Reilly, Jack Eichel, Hughes from New Jersey, Gino Malkin, and Elias Pettersson of the Vancouver Canucks. And at number 20, Robert Thomas. That's not a typo, people. Rob, yeah, the guy that signed for all that money, I guess they saw something. I guess everyone sees something I never saw. Not on this list. Kopitar, Deneau, Hurdle, Trocheck, for all the people who want to throw Gino to the Wolves, John Tavares, Nicholas Backstrom, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Mr. Creamsicle, Couturier, and Matt Barzal. The guy's not on it could be the top 16.
Well, exactly.
Except for the top five.
Come on. Kopitar, Hurdle.
How is Kopitar not on?
I don't get it.
And Barzal, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And Deneau. I think all three of them are on it. I think Trocheck has an argument. And
Hurdle has an argument.
And
Hurdle, certainly.
And Kuzi and Couturier and Barz, they all... I mean, I take Lindholm off. I think he was riding on that line, you know? And we'll see. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe this...
He was the Jan Herdina.
And I'd move Point up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd move Point up a couple. I'd move Aho back a couple, but I'd leave him on.
Way back. Oh, it was way.
What about Kadri? He did win.
Why? Kadri's better center than Aho.
Aho scores a little more.
But Kadri was effective in that.
Man, I'll take Kadri
in that final series.
It's crazy to put Eichel on just because he hasn't played enough in the past couple of years. It wouldn't be insulting to leave him off because he hasn't played that much. We talk about Robert Thomas.
I agree on
stupid.
That. Yeah.
Pettersson was supposed to be in this. Is he still in it right now from how he's played, especially over Deneau and Trocheck and Kuzi? And it just doesn't seem like, yeah, you could easily make this list a lot better by taking off Thomas, taking off Pettersson, taking off Eichel, and getting Deneau, Kuzi, and Barzal on it. And all of a sudden, it's a lot more stomachal of a list. Like
if Kopitar and Kuzi and Hurdle are on it, and Barzal, because Deneau, you say, okay, he's a defensive center. Even though you need him to win playoff games, I think he's a big find. He could be number 21. But I don't see how you don't have Kopitar.
You got to put Kopi in there.
And Kuzi. Played great last year. Kuzi played great last year. And Barzal. And that's how overrated Couturier is. He's not even on this list.
See, that's where our own prejudice come to mind. Because you know why I like Deneau? He kept scoring every time I went to the games. Like, every Kings game I went to, Deneau had a big game. So in my head, like, it elevates to a certain degree. I just don't understand. Where did the Robert Thomas thing come from? Like, where did we start hearing his name thinking, oh, that's a top-line guy?
Darren Pang must be, you know.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Yeah.
I mean, does Berube just love and trust this guy so much?
How did they give him like $9 million?
Like 8.2 or something like that, yeah. It's crazy. I thought it was the most inflated. Like, he's worth as much as Fiala, Kevin Fiala. Like, really? Like, because Fiala kind of seemed like maybe they overpaid a little bit, but the Kings wanted to ensure that they're going to be, you know, in that Western race, and they're going to be the second or third best team for sure. But I don't get why Robert Thomas is now the guy that makes a list like this, or makes $8 million over seven.
How is he on a list ahead of Anze Kopitar?
Exactly. Or Hurdle. Or Barzal.
Backstrom, Kuzi, no love for the Capital Connection.
Like, is it even a thought for them? Hey, we got to win this draw. It's the third period. Throw out O'Reilly or throw out Thomas. Like, do they really think about it? Or do they just throw out O'Reilly?
Like, how did the Blues have two centers on this list? It's my anti-St. Louis Blues bias that I think they're like one of the real darlings of the league, and they have real easy media. And I think they get a lot of people like being nice to them. I think they get the easiest. I think the most kid glove care. Doug Armstrong, before he won that the Stanley Cup, I thought was the most overrated GM in the world. And then he just got lucky that his goaltender got hot and Berube scared everybody.
Yeah.
And I was rooting for him this year a lot. I don't hate them naturally, but I mean that's just ludicrous that he's ahead of Kopitar.
I agree. Yep.
I mean, I can think of, I mean, okay, we have no, the top five is incredible. The top five is, would you have Barkov over Stamkos?
No.
I'm okay with it. I might take Stammer over, or Point over Barkov, but I think that those next three should be Barkov, Stamkos, Point. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have Bergeron over Point. I'm sorry, Patty. And I don't have him over Zibanejad either. Point is a better player than Zibanejad. I like Zibanejad.
The Point's really good.
Yeah, I think I have him. Yeah, like I said, I think that there's a kind of a big drop off after, if you put Point after Stamkos. Not that it's a huge drop off, like the players aren't good anymore, but I think that's all of your best player. I think once you round out the Barkov, Point, Stammer, I think that's kind of the upper echelon.
So we'll get a top five. Okay, then the top five. Then I would go I think the next is Barkov, Stamkos. I'll say Point, Zibanejad, and Bergeron. I'll grandfather Bergeron into that group. I don't see Aho in that group. I don't think he's as good as Zibanejad.
I don't think Patty's in the group anymore.
I was grandfathering him in.
Yeah.
Here's the kicker that gets me. I always think JT Miller is a wing, except whenever they try to force he'll come and play for Gino. But I'm like, whoa, I'd rather have him on Sid's wing. Like, I always think of JT Miller as a wing.
Yeah, and he does play it quite a bit too. It's kind of like Briere would play wing a lot. Drew also. Whenever they make lists like that, these guys end up all over
him. Oh, I don't see Drew anywhere on here.
Well, years ago, he used to make both. Remember, they used to make best winger and best center lists, depending on who wrote it.
And I think that was just like, that was so amazing that, you know, the last year he won the Salke and he didn't get a sniff on centers this year, Couturier. Because I almost think it's like the All-Star game. They kind of get one from every TV market in a way on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they got to think about that.
And no matter what you think of Kadri, he really was good in that Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, I think of Kadri, I'd take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, he was terrific.
I'd take him too, but would I take him over Deneau and Hurdle and Cousy? I don't know.
I'm just going on how he played in the finals. He was so...
I'm saying it was a straight one-to-one trade, though. You can have one of these guys, you can't have the other.
I'd take him over Deneau. I wouldn't take him over Kopitar.
Or Cousy, right?
I think he brings a little more. I think he brings you almost the offense of Cousy, and he brings you almost the defense of Deneau. I think he's the best of both. And he's a little sandpaper to his game.
Yeah.
I think he's right. I think he's easily a top 15, 16 guy. I'll take him over Eichel. You asked me to start a franchise.
Yeah.
For sure. I think Eichel's gotta be the first one taken off the list. Just because we haven't seen enough. I don't know how you can make a list of a guy that's played 30 games in 2.5 years.
I like Hughes.
That's right.
I like Hughes. I think the Devils are on the way up, but I can't put him over Barzal.
No. I like him too, but no.
No, I like him on the list, but maybe he's 20. Maybe when Robert Thomas gets bumped off, he's like the 20th. I think he is in the top 16 or so.
We'll see how Lindholm does this year. I won't, you know, he did have a good year. O'Reilly, you know, I guess he had a pretty good year. You know, he can stay in the top 20, the top 16.
Yeah.
If anybody could go, you know, Gino got grandfathered in on this one.
A little bit. I didn't want to be the one that said
a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, he did
a little bit. I mean, I still take Gino in current form for the next 4 years over, you know, a few players on this list, but it's not as many as it used to be.
No. And for me, not to even insinuate that he should be in the top 8 or 10.
It says a lot.
Says, yeah. You know. If anything, I'm fair on this show. Anything else stand out?
Not, I'm trying to think if there's a
Johnny T not on the list. Mitch Marner not on the list of top 16 overall guys kind of stands out a little bit.
That does a little, yeah.
I'm surprised, but I think that there's just too many good players. You almost can go to 30. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I was thinking the other day, I think this is the best generation for hockey players since the Mario Lemieux, Messier, Gretzky class kind of met up with the Lindros, Kariya, Jágr class. Because, you know, we've got Crosby and the Ovi and Kane guys kind of on their way out. Kind of, you know, it feels the same as that late 90s where you have the icons on their way out and then you get these new young guys that are faster and better than anything you've seen before.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I don't remember there being this many stars. How many?
Well, you have, let's see how many, well, there's like, okay, Lemieux, Gretzky, Messier. How many? Okay, so that's like three just absolute icons. And then right now you'd say Sid, Ovi, Patty Kane.
Yeah.
That's like three legitimate icons. And then coming up, you had Jágr, Lindros.
Fedorov.
He got cut short. Fedorov. Let's just go completely like cover of EA Sport. Like,
I think that those guys all make the cover, you know.
No, but I'm just trying to think of like who, you know, because, I mean, Fedorov is my number one non-Penguin of all time. I'm just trying to compare. Like, hey, he's not Jágr.
No.
He's not Messier.
He's not.
Eiserman would probably be the one from that.
Right, no, I'm trying to think, like, but he's totally in the middle, though.
Yeah.
He's not the Lemieux, he's like kind of Lemieux generation, kind of not.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. In general, though, the end of Lemieux's career was, I think, and up until now, the most talented I remember seeing the league as a kid.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to compare, though. Yeah. Like, Wayne and Mess and Mario left, and then who? Jágr, Lindros. That was kind of the next wave.
Kariya Solani.
Yeah, they didn't quite. So now it's like, okay, Sid, Ovi, Kane. That's whatever. That's eight.
Handing it off to Matthews.
That's
David.
Eight cups right there.
Yeah.
So now who's okay? So then it goes to Makar.
Matthews, McDavid.
So they have to step it up, or it's just going to be McKinnon and McCarr passing around to each other.
Yeah. So more guys got to win in order for the legacy to stick. But I just think as far as just skill, I think it's just kind of – I mean, it always gets better. It's just surprising it gets better. Every sport gets better. But I don't remember every team having two bona fide superstars to a degree, even bad teams.
Well, no, but I don't remember every team kind of having icons, though. Every team has one or two, like – iconic players now.
Yeah.
It's a good era.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's a reason to go see every team.
Yeah. Good era.
Even Ottawa.
I know, 'cause now you can throw a battery at Giroux. No, don't do that. I'm not calling for violence. Just give him the finger.
Does he make the same money as Robert Thomas? Close, right?
I'd rather have Robert Thomas.
I think he's making eight.
That's his new contract?
It's close to eight.
Wow.
Pretty sure.
Space in that summer programming. All right, let's do a little game show before we leave here.
All right.
Okay, Frage, I don't put you on the spot. You can have Andy help maybe a little bit, but if Andy saw the list, then...
I need help from Andy on this.
Okay, so... Obviously, the Detroit Red Wings are highly Swede-motivated. Right. Lots of Swedes. So we'll play a little family feud. Who are the top five point-getting Swedes all time on your Family Feud on the Red Wings of Detroit? The Motor City Men.
Lindstrom?
Lindstrom is number one. Ding, 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 ding. Number one. Your number one answer. 1,142 points.
Yeah. Andy?
I mean, I'm looking at it, and I also guessed it in the car with Joe on the way here. Nicky's one of the ones I got, and this next one I feel like is the other one that's super obvious just sitting there.
I'm going to need help.
It is summer programming.
Incredible two-way forward. Conn Smythe winner.
Him, he played with the Witch. Well, I guess these all did.
Oh, gosh. I should know. I don't know.
Yeah. Space, no worries. I'll put you on the Zetterberg.
Oh, Zetterberg.
960.
Of course.
This next one, I wouldn't have even guessed, I don't think.
He's a lot of points. Well, we'll go. Holmstrom. Tomas.
Oh, my gosh.
Holmstrom, 530. Number four, Nick Cronwell.
Oh, really?
432.
Okay.
And now here's a good one. Coming in fifth, 370 points. The Mule, Johan Franzen.
Franzen, I should have got that.
So that's a combined 900 points in front of the net from the Swedes.
The Swedes have done well for us.
Swedes are not soft.
The one I couldn't think of was Holmstrom. I kept thinking, like, is there really five? Who is it? Is it a guy from back in the day? I could not think of Holmstrom and his net front presence. I mean, of course, there's a lot of points there, but Cronwall. I think people don't. I think he's one of the best open ice hitters in the history of the league. I think if you were to take the top 10 guys who you didn't want to catch you with your head down at the blue line, and I feel like it's not brought up a lot, but Cronwall has hours long of just hip checks and having people flip over him and stuff. He was always one of my favorite players to watch.
Cronwall was one of the last of the generation that still hit like that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because now he'd be in the press box a lot. He was really on the line, but even back in 08, 09,
he was one of the last guys that threw a hip check.
Yeah.
But he made some stand-up checks as well. He's not only...
He's an all-around player.
I miss that, though.
Great shot.
That era.
Who would think he'd had 430 points?
I would not have gotten that, yeah.
He's pretty much a defensive defenseman. He wasn't on the power play very much either.
No, but he just, you know, I mean, those teams were so good that he just needed to get the puck up and get an assist a lot, as Ryan Whitney calls it. Just clear it and somebody will score.
That's Whitney's game. I like a lot of Spinning Chicklets. I like a lot of the podcast. I just can't get past to how much I did not like him on the ice. Ryan Whitney.
Oh, Whitney, yeah.
Just, I get the backdoor power play. I get that. But how, I mean, can you bring your dog in your corner, Whit, trying to win a playoff series?
I remember. I was a big the next, you remember the whole marketing was like the next generation. It was Ryan Malone, Sid, Whit.
Yeah, I love
Stahl.
Bugsy.
I was so upset at that trade. I remember where I was. I was upset when they traded Whitney for Kunitz. It shows how much I knew. The thing, I wasn't the GM. But I remember I was at a McDonald's in Jersey City. Like, can it get any more depressing? It's like, man, I liked him. I got Chris Kunitz coming in with his high elbows. This is going to stink. And then, you know.
Oh, he did.
Three cups later.
Oh, yeah. He does win cups. Yeah. The real tragedy of that trade is Tangrady got concussed by the idiot on Long Island. And he never was the same. And he is the number one. He was like the trade.
Yeah.
The trade was like Kunitz,
part of that trade,
third line guy. Because Whitney, you forget now because I don't know what really happened to his career, but it fell apart.
Yeah.
Whitney was a big deal. And Tangrady was like the bigger deal of what we're getting back.
Well, I think that Whitney never got returned to a power play that had somebody like Sid on it. Because when Whitney really put up those crazy numbers, Sid would find him on that far side for that one time or the people weren't looking for. And so he was piling points, I think, in a way in Pittsburgh that he just didn't.
And Sid can make you look good.
Yeah.
Exactly. That and the fact that he was never... Well, even the Duckies did have Perry and Getz. I don't know. He never run a power play where, oh, we can't even worry about you coming down the back end because there's Sid and Gino on that side. That was his biggest problem. It was people, all of a sudden, the Ducks people could look over, oh, look, there's Whitney coming down the down the slot again.
In Edmonton, he played in the dark ages. He played there for like 3 or 4 years where they were just a complete mess. So I don't think there was much time to even get on a power play there.
No, but it's interesting that no one took a flyer on him to go try to play at a better team.
Yeah, that's interesting.
No, I mean, he didn't get the Schultzy. Almost every Edmonton guy gets out of there at some point and gets a shot. Schultz got a couple cups.
He ended it there, I think, because I think they gave him like $35 million over 5 years, something like that. And then I think he just retired and that was up.
Yeah. I like to see footage of Whitney hiding in the Battle of Alberta.
Have you ever seen the picture where it looks like his head was taken off in a fight, where his shoulder pads went over? He looks like Like Ichabod Crane.
Oh, no.
Headless Horseman.
Yeah.
It's funny because I like Whitney as an on-air guy. And he seems like a cool guy. I like to have a beer with him. But, man, I'm so happy we got Kunitz.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Kunitz.
Yeah, I mean, hey, in the end, it was definitely the right thing. But I remember being upset. Every time one of those guys left, whether it was Bugsy or the Colby, all those early guys, obviously the Colby trade worked out pretty well, too. Not just for host. We got Duke
another yet. Guy. Another guy I love as a human being. Didn't care for him on the ice. Way more than Whitney, actually. Way more than Whitney. I thought Colby's hits, him playing with Sid, it was just like, oh, enough of the Colby Armstrong. Like, we love Colby. I only see the personality. Like, and I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I guess, again, it sounds terrible to say, but when he almost killed Saku Koivu behind the net and started a rivalry out of nowhere again with the Canadians, that was some really fun times to be a Penguin fan. I was kind of enjoying it.
It was all fun. It was when your team's up and coming, it's always fun. When they're on their last leg and wheeling in and bringing the aging superstars and claiming they're still in the mix for a Stanley Cup.
That's never good. Yeah.
I remember
what you're feeling right now is not one of the happier, you know, it's fun. I'm just happy they kept Gino and I'm okay with Tanger. Like, let them all stick together. They're not going to win a cup no matter what they do.
Are they still a playoff team?
I think so.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, let them all ride out in the sunset. I mean, there's a big reckoning coming. So I just wish they would, a couple bad penalties and a couple. I just wish they would have went for it. I wish they would have just went and got, Big Nick and Manson and really threw everything in this year. And then if you didn't want to, then you want to say goodbye to everybody. Okay. Well, you gave it one last true legitimate. Now you're really, why not just get the car to 100 one more time? They'd have it go 75 the next 4 years.
How do you see your reload coming? Do you go out and get guys, or do you?
There's no space.
Well, one franchise has 0 points in the World Junior so far, and that's the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, do we have anybody in there?
That's what I was saying. I don't even know if we have a guy playing. So, they won two cups during it, but they've had this philosophy of going for it recently, and they've gotten the cupboards are a bit bare. So yeah, the reckoning will come one way or the other in 3 or 4 years.
It was all gravy once they won the second one in 16. 17 was a miracle. It's the golden age. I'm going to see Gino get his 1,000th game, his 500th goal. It's all great. Got to enjoy. They've won 5 cups in my lifetime.
Guys.
I'd rather have these last 2 cups and nothing for 20 years than, we're hanging around. Let's just burn. Better to burn out than fade away.
That's right. That's what Neil said.
All right. That's anything else? I will be improv Friday night, and I'm going to go see the boss Sunday in Fenway Park.
Yeah, buddy. Wow, that's going to be awesome.
It's going to be sick, dude.
Man, congrats to Bill.
That's awesome. You got to see that. It's going to be sick.
It's crazy. The first comic ever to do that venue. I can't imagine being the first comic to do anything anywhere. It's gonna be such a cool feeling.
And that's the hometown.
Yeah, and it's not like he's like a computer geek guy or like I Star Wars.
He's not taking it for granted.
Yeah, he's a Red Sox guy.
Oh, that's all.
you know,
it doesn't get any better.
That's where Ted Williams would run on and off the field.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
It's such a classic venue.
You guys have performed in a lot of crazy places, but this is just
I'm
insane.
Going to see it.
Yeah, that's great. Sick. That'll be great.
It's going to be sick. Anyway, that's what I'm doing.
Well, I am at Laugh Factory on Saturday night, and Friday night, I'm not sure, tomorrow night at the Comedy Magic.
Oh, look at that. I'm going to swing by.
Yeah, come on by.
I'm definitely swinging by.
Then I'm doing the similar stuff. I'll be at the Hearn Theater right there on Melrose and Vine.
All right.
Very good. All right, guys. Well, almost the end of summer programming. We're working our way towards the season.
Yeah.
And it was fun today. I want to thank our producer, Aaron. As always, he does a fantastic job. Andy Beccaro, Joe Bartnick. Good job, guys. Fraser Smith here. We are Puck Off. We are out.